following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this December 10th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. It's another nasty day outside, man. It's just one of those days like we had yesterday. It's cold, it's rainy. We know what happens in Auburn when it rains. It floods. People tend to forget how to drive when water starts falling from the sky for whatever reason. And so it's one of those days you just want to stay home, man. Keep your pajama pants on. I said that yesterday. And again, I wanted to do it today, but I didn't. Glad to be here, though. We got 2 hours for you of lots and lots of coverage of Auburn football and the transfer portal, guys that have entered from Auburn, also names that Auburn needs to look out for, you need to look out for, that Auburn could be going after. Also, some Auburn basketball talk. We'll talk more college basketball as well, college football playoff. And so there's a lot to get to on the show today here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins, and across from me, he's with me every Tuesday. Also comes in most Fridays and really just whenever we need him. Christian Griffin, voice of the Lee Scott Warriors, is in the studio with us as well. What's up, my man? How was your weekend? I know there's been a lot going on.
There is a whole lot going on, as you mentioned, the past couple days. Make you just want to sit inside and not really do anything, but happy to be back in here. A bunch of big names in the portal I know that you're talking about. We have the college football playoff bracket now that I'm sure it was talked about a lot yesterday, and the marquee matchups, and for the first time, colleges being able to host on their campus, which I think is the best part of this entire playoff format. But just a whole lot to get to. I'm excited to knock everything out today.
Well, let's jump into it. We'll open up the phone lines coming up in just a little bit. You can shoot us a text between now and then, though. 334-784-1067. Start sending us names. That's what we want you to send us today in the On the Line text box. Names of people in the portal or potential portal entries that you want Auburn to go after. Talking about Auburn football, of course, and look, I think it is very, very obvious, right, that Auburn is going to be going after a quarterback, Christian, and possibly two, now that they are losing two quarterbacks out of that room.
I think that's definitely the case. Hugh Freeze mentioned a couple times throughout the year, and then again in the, I believe it was the post-press conference after signing, or early signing day, talking about how he wants four guys in that room to be able to compete. And as you mentioned, with two guys leaving, you're left with Walker White and Hank Brown, and Deuce Knight now, after Holden and Hank have entered the transfer portal. Ashton Daniels is kind of one of the big names right now, the Fong Bomb, I believe, the quarterback from Stanford and a Buford University graduate as well. It's funny, my girlfriend's family is actually pretty good family friends with that family, so it's kind of cool, the whole ties with that whole situation. Okay. But I know that that's not necessarily the popular name right now. You've heard a bunch of people with backlash with that name once you've seen the stats from him playing at Stanford this past year. But again, Hugh Freeze, you expect to be able to get two names out of the portal just to give that room some more competition, and I think that's the biggest thing that you need for that room right now.
Yeah, it seems like with Ashton from Stanford, it seems like he's going to be brought in, if that does come to fruition, right? He's going to be brought in as a really competitive quarterback and a guy that you would expect to be a solid number two, a guy that you could rely on if something goes wrong, right, in terms of injury, or if you start a true freshman and Deuce Knight and it doesn't go well, if you go get a portal quarterback and it doesn't go well, you feel that you could at least rely on the Stanford quarterback to come in and survive, right? I mean, if he comes in and ends up being the starter, I think you're in trouble. And I hate to say that because it sounds negative towards him and that young man, but that's just not the splash that you're looking to make in the transfer portal at the quarterback spot. And I think that Auburn fans are weary, nervous, right? A little skeptical of what Auburn could bring in through the portal via the quarterback position, because you just saw how that went for the last 2 years and it didn't go so well.
That was exactly what I was about to say, is you're weary and a little bit skeptical of any name that you hadn't necessarily heard of prior to that quarterback entering the transfer portal. And then you got yourself all hyped up because of what he had been able to do and, you know, the stats that whatever was put up. But you feel like Auburn now, with the pieces, especially from this the previous class and then again this class, the quarterback spot is the biggest fix that you have to have in this room. You did it with the recruiting class, bringing in Deuce Knight. You did it with the previous one, bringing in Walker White. But you need somebody to be able to control the offense. Ashton is the kind of kid that brings in experience because, again, he's played quarterback for two, now 3 years at Stanford. So to be able to have somebody like that to compete in that room for these freshmen is really, really big.
And you pair that with what Auburn has already started to do in terms of reaching out to wide receivers, right? You pair that with a big name, the number one transfer portal receiver in the class right now. It's weird to describe it as a transfer portal class, but that's what it is. I mean, that's literally what this is. This is the 24-25 transfer portal class in the month of December. I guess you could say it's the 24 class. And then you have the spring 25 class. And then you've got the winter 25. I mean, you have literal classes of the transfer portal. You have rankings. You have guys who have numbers next to their name in terms of where they are in the portal and the best available. And then you have class rankings for that. And so, while that sounds weird to say, Christian, that's just what it is. I mean, that's, you will be ranked and judged to start next season, as much as you and I disagree with it. You will be ranked and judged based off of what you do in the transfer portal now and post-spring.
And there's rankings now for every single school in each of those classes, right? You have the 2025 signing class, you have the recruiting, the portal class that you're able to get, and that's where so many of the preseason rankings that we're both huge fans of, that comes into everything, because yeah, you are based off of and judged off of every single kid that you lose and every single kid that you brought in. You talked about the top receiver in the entire class, Eric Singleton, coming from Georgia Tech, who is, I believe, is he the number one player or just the number one receiver? He might be the number one player in the portal right now, just based off of everything, how everything works. He's expected to visit Ole Miss, Georgia, and Auburn, and I believe Auburn gets the very first visit with him, which is very, very big. He has some Auburn ties. He was Auburn's number two, Auburn was his number two coming out of high school as well, and so you expect the Georgia Tech receiver to hopefully find his way to the Plains.
And that's a visit that will take place tomorrow. That is confirmed that he will be on campus tomorrow. There are several guys who have been offered by Auburn, several guys who have already scheduled visits with Auburn. One expectation is the Oklahoma tight end Bauer Sharp to be on that list. You have the Wake Forest wide receiver Horatio Fields is set to visit Auburn coming up in just a few days, about a week or so's time. On the defensive side of the football, defensive lineman from Wisconsin, James Thompson, with 1 year of eligibility, a super senior, has been offered by Auburn on the defensive front. You also have an edge rusher, Clev Lubbin, from Coastal Carolina, has been offered. A corner from Miami of Ohio, Rayon Strader, has been offered by Auburn as well. You have a guy who is going to also get an offer from Auburn, a UConn running back, Darrell Robinson. He is at an academy school right now. He used to play at UConn. So that's a guy that has been offered. And just reading these off of a list, and you can go find these on any website that you want to. The safety from JSU. From Jacksonville State, Zachariah Poyser, believe is how you pronounce his name. He is going to be taking a visit to Auburn, LSU, and Florida. And then a running back, Ahmad Hardy, is set to visit Auburn, the running back transfer from Louisiana Monroe. And so I say all of those names to say this. Auburn has been very, very active in the transfer portal because it officially opened yesterday. It will be open for the next several weeks. It closes officially on December 28th. And Auburn is in that position. I was going to say unique, but Auburn's not in the unique category here. Auburn is in the majority here, where as crappy as it is to not be in the college football playoff, and even to double down and say as crappy as it is to not be in a bowl game, if there is one positive here, you're not practicing. You're not preparing, you're not strategizing, you're not game planning. You are full on 100% focused on the transfer portal. That is Auburn's football's only responsibility right now if you are Hugh Freeze and this entire coaching staff, whereas 12 teams are right now preparing for a college football playoff and trying to prepare for their future, and a handful of other teams are trying to decide what's more important, winning a meaningless bowl game or prepare for your future in the transfer portal.
And that's why you hear so many discussions, so many arguments, so many proposals of fixing the college football calendar, because it is absolutely horrific. Just the fact of you're having to essentially, through weeks 8 through 12 or 8 through 13, recruit your own team, recruit your own roster. Then if you're able to play in the postseason, you're able to, or you're trying to keep your guys ready, keep them focused, keep the same guys while you're trying to go out and get guys that might replace the guys that are on your team right now. And so having to weigh those two things is such a difficult challenge. And so, again, not that it's something that you comically say is a good thing for Auburn. They're in not the worst position from the standpoint that, yeah, as you mentioned, they can sit there and focus on that recruiting class.
But think
or
about,
on the portal class, rather.
But think about this, too. There are 12 teams right now that are basically off limits.
Yeah.
There are 12 teams that have not really dealt with anything in the transfer portal because most of their guys have decided to stay around because they're preparing for the playoff. I mean, yeah, there are going to be a handful of them that have probably already announced that they're going to enter, heck, probably weeks ago because they weren't playing or they got dismissed or whatever the case may be. But 85 to 90% of the rosters on all 12 of those playoff teams are fully intact and will not be that way in the next couple of weeks. And reminder, right, for the portal, it opened yesterday and it runs through December 28th. But for any team that made the college football playoff, once your season is done, players then have 5 days that they can enter the portal. For any team whose head coach leaves or is fired, those guys have 30 days to enter the transfer portal. So you do have set dates, but there's major asterisks here with a couple of big-time situations, especially the 12 teams involved in the playoff.
And there's one team in specific where you've heard a lot about, and it's kind of the opposite way that a majority of coaches are going about it, but it's Kenny Dillingham with Arizona State, where a couple of guys have walked up to him and saying, hey, I think that it's best for me to enter, but I'd like to go ahead and wait until our season is over. And Dillingham, again, took it in the way that many coaches would disagree with, many people wouldn't necessarily say is the right way to go about it. At first, I completely disagreed with it until I heard his press conference, and it kind of changed my mind with everything. But he said, no, like, go enter the portal now, throw your name in there. You're more than welcome to come and finish the season with us and finish this ride and do the best that you can for us And then afterwards, if it's finding a new home, we're going to go help you find a new home. He said, quote, our guys have the opportunity to stay on our football team. And they're like, we'll go in the portal at the end. And I said, no, that's not fair to you to go in after our run is over. So a very different mindset than the majority of people. And so the fact that he's in the college football playoff in a completely different situation than everybody but 12 teams in the playoff that are in there right now is a really interesting way to think about it. But that being said, I feel like that's someone to have the honesty, to have somebody that has the coach, to have the genuine conversations is a cool way to look at it.
And if you are one of those players, right, for Arizona State or for Georgia or Boise State or Indiana or whoever the case may be, and you have an idea that you are thinking about transferring, you're not playing as much as you want to, or they've maybe just led on to you, hey, it's probably best for you to move on, because those conversations happen. But if you are on one of those playoff teams, if you don't play for a guy like that, right, not only does your team not get to benefit from having the transfer portal opportunities because they're in the playoff, you can go get guys, you just don't have the same time and resources as the other teams do. But if you're a player on one of those teams, think about this. By the time your team's run is over, let's say it's Georgia and they make a run to the national championship game, and you are a third string linebacker, but you've hung around because you want to be dedicated to your team and wait your turn and be a team player. Well, heck, you're not going to enter the portal until January 20th or 21st. Some of these teams have already filled that spot. They've already taken the linebackers that they need because they had no idea you were thinking about entering the portal, that you were going to enter the portal. Now, I think those conversations begin to happen with some big-time players, but for you get where I'm going with this. Yeah. Most of the time, it's not just the programs that are getting screwed over here. A lot of these players on these playoff teams, they're getting the short shaft too.
And it's based off the calendar. It goes back to the timing and the dates and everything because, as you're mentioning, it almost punishes a second or third string safety that might not get as much time. It punishes him for being a team player and wanting to stick it out with his team rather than being somebody like Julian Humphreys, who after or before the SEC championship even said, hey, I'm going to go ahead and enter, so I'm not with the team anymore. He's now, ironically, in a better spot than somebody that waits 2 or 3 weeks to enter their name.
Isn't it weird in comparison to the bowl game opt-outs that started years and years ago, right before the portal even started, before the portal was a thing, where you would have big-time players opt out of bowl games for draft consideration, right, for draft preparation. And those guys would get hammered. I mean, they would get absolutely hammered. I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that bowl games started, or bowl games mattered, right? Because the Orange Bowl was a big deal, or even the Outback Bowl was a big deal, or anything like that. Now, if you're not in the playoffs, again, if you're not in, you're out. And so nobody's really worried. If you want to leave, good riddance, see you later. We got to go replace you, and we'd rather have more time to do that.
It's a conversation that I'd like to continue on into the second segment, but it goes back to something that I am a true believer in because I love bowl season. I love it, but now that you and everybody are understanding that these smaller games don't necessarily matter for a team that is a better program than what they might have showed this year rather than going to a 6-6 bowl game, I'm telling you, it would answer so many problems with the playoff. It would enter so many conversations of everything else. Make the bowl game your first game of the year.
We'll talk more about that when we come back. I like that idea. We'll get to that. Plus, we'll talk quarterback options for Auburn in the transfer portal. Send us some names. We want to hear from you. 334-784-1067. We'll open up the phone lines coming up in just a little bit. We'll take our first break here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. All right, we're back here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Shoot us a text, 334-784-1067, talking about players in the transfer portal that Auburn could be going after or ones that you think they should be going after. And before we get to that, and that may carry into the next segment as well, this is a conversation we're going to have for weeks. And so you had mentioned something that you've brought up before, Christian, about how you believe there's a way to fix several issues in college football. And one of them is wiping out bowl season now in December, just having the college football playoff, which ultimately is going to expand more anyway. And making your bowl game assignment, for example, Alabama and Michigan, making that game one of the next season.
It makes it to where, again, the counter argument is everything that the playoff discussed this upcoming or this past year, or I guess this past week, about difficult non-conference schedules. Because ultimately, if all the committee does care about is wins, then it draws that sort of counter argument. But I feel like it would answer so many issues of opt-outs not necessarily playing. It would answer questions about teams that don't necessarily play big-time opponents that would then get that opportunity week one. You're able to fully load up your staff, fully load up your roster, and then you go to war week one against the team that you were scheduled to play. Bowl games used to be a big deal. The New Year's Six games used to be a very big deal because all there was the BCS National Championship. There were two teams that played it to where even if you didn't necessarily feel like you made the championship, oh, we made the Rose Bowl. That's a very, very big deal. We're going to go win the Rose Bowl. We're going to go win the Orange Bowl or the Sugar Bowl or whatever it may be. But now, if you don't make it used to be the four-team playoff because of the way that the committee formatted it with the quotations, who's in, and I've talked about that. I feel like that was the worst slogan for college football because it made it to where if you weren't in, you were out. And it made it to where nothing else mattered. Now, they essentially made it to where it was two of the six New Year's Six games in the college football playoff with four teams. Now you host, and then it becomes the New Year's Six games to where essentially regular bowl season does not matter. It doesn't matter to the players, obviously, because a majority of them decide to opt out if they're not playing in a big game, even if they are. How many Michigan and Alabama players do you expect to opt out if they're not already in the portal themselves? Because there's no benefit in playing that game because even a win doesn't really do anything for you because it's not taken seriously. Think about Missouri and Ohio State last year. Missouri won that game 10-3.
And let everybody know about it.
And they did, but neither team had anybody.
Yeah.
Right? To where Ohio State said, oh, we didn't make the playoff. We could not care less about this bowl game. Florida State and Georgia. Florida State losing by 60 points.
Yeah, but nobody cared.
But nobody cared about the game because why? You weren't in. So make it to where you get rid of the bowl games if you are not in the 12-team, I'm guessing soon-to-be 16-team college playoff, and make that your very first game of the year to where you have a fully loaded roster ready to go, and it would answer so many questions about the conference or the non-conference schedule, your strength of schedule, so many things like that, and then that would be able to play into precedent for the college football playoff.
I guess one of my pushbacks on that would be think about any incoming freshman or transfer portal player who would come in. Take Alabama and Michigan, for example. Do we expect Alabama or Michigan to be better at the start of next year? Alabama, right? You would expect Alabama to be better on paper than Michigan to start the year. You would think Michigan's going to reload and probably be pretty good, but Alabama's probably going to be better, right? What are some other bowl assignments, some other bowl games that are happening? I mean, you would like to think you can guess on that and think that one team is going to load up and be better and much different than the other. I mean, take a Tulane in Florida, for example. We expect Florida to be much better than Tulane next year. We expect Florida to be a pretty good team next year. Where I'm going with this is, take any of the freshmen and incoming transfers for Tulane this offseason that will play their first game in the season opener next year. They almost get punished by playing a team they did not earn the right or did not deserve to play. Does that make sense of where I'm going with this? I mean, yes, it's just a season opener, but the way you're describing it as a carryover from the year before, you're also taking away from the select few, but those players that do want to play in that final game too. It's not a perfect system or a perfect world, and it never will be. I just look at those players that transfer to Tulane or who may hesitate because they say, I don't know, I don't think I want to play that Florida team in the opener, which that may tell you all you need to know anyway, but that's just kind of where I'm going with that.
I feel like I could counter that by saying if Tulane wants to have legitimate respect as a G5 team, You'd want to play one of the best to see where you're at. And if all of a sudden Tulane finds a way to win that, there's zero discussion if they run the table that they're in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Just to push back, no. And I like the idea.
No right way to go about it.
No, there's not. But we'll talk more transfer portal, recruiting, and basketball, and whatever else you want to talk about. Let's open up the phone lines, 334-321-1390.
On the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Phone lines are open for the first time today. We'd love to hear from you, 334-321-1390. And we get to those now with Ed. You're on the line. What's up, Ed?
Hey, I was just going to ask you about or get your opinion on just a couple of things. The first thing is with Omar Mapson at Auburn going Auburn High going declaring early. Is this not kind of exactly, and I know Bama's after him pretty hard, it's kind of exactly what we saw last year with Ryan Williams, that him declaring late, reclassifying late?
Yes, I believe that. I believe Ryan, he declared a little bit closer to like late November, but it was, yeah, right around the same exact time to where he reclassified and dropped a couple spots, but still one of the top players in the class.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that, he's a very good running back. And I've noticed something else I was just going to say real quick. If you look at the pros and now a lot of colleges that are doing good, the running back to me is coming back. It's a very, very valuable option. You know, at one time everybody, well, you've got to pass, you've got to be able to score, you know, three times in 2 minutes. But I think that's kind of going by the wayside, or not by the wayside, but you got to have both. But you look at the Eagles, you look at some of the college teams that have done really good this year. And if it hadn't been for Auburn's running game this year, let's face it, they would be, you know, even worse shape. And if they'd have leaned on the running game more, maybe a couple more wins. But I wanted to ask you about what you thought about Nick Saban blaming scheduling on this year not making the playoffs. Listen, they lost to Vandy in Oklahoma is what the only team they scheduled this year that was half any good in out of conference was Wisconsin. I've got some Bama friends I love. I really do. But it just gets old listening to them cry every time. things don't go their way. What do you think?
I'm with you. I mean, look, the whole, well, we're just not going to schedule hard games out of conference is fine. And I think that applies to more than Alabama. I really, really do. But my quote that I said yesterday that I'm still sticking by is, show me a team that didn't make the college football playoff because of their non-conference schedule. Right, I don't see a single team that didn't make it because they lost a big game out of conference. And for Alabama, your point stands, and that's what a lot of people outside of Tuscaloosa have said is, well, don't get blasted by a 6-6 Oklahoma team in the second to last week of the season, and you don't have to worry about it.
And here's something else that you got to realize in this day of transfer portal and NIL. You don't know who's going to be very good. You know, Bill Belichick goes to North Carolina and a few of their alums decide to just pour money into it. You know, they could be a major contender.
That's all it takes. That's right, Ed. That's all it takes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate you taking my call. And, hey, when does Auburn play basketball next?
Auburn is currently scheduled to play Ohio State this Saturday over in Atlanta.
Okay, that sounds great. All right, thanks, guys.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Ed. Great to hear from you, my friend. 334-321-1390. We'll get to Ty in just a second. You have a response to what Ed had to say.
No, I think he makes a really good point with the running backs. And especially,
I do too.
Especially in college football, because of the way the clock works now, to where you can control time of possession.
T-Bone's been big about that, yeah.
And again, it's not necessarily something that I have loved because it feels like it does play a very big difference in the game, but it makes it to where if you have a really solid run game to where you don't have to be the team like 2019 LSU where you just have the most dominant pass offense ever, you can still be very, very successful. And even in the NFL now, you're seeing guys after – you know, it used to be in fantasy, you never drafted a running back in the first round because they didn't have any true potential unless they could catch the football. Now, all of a sudden, you're seeing guys carry the rock 20, 25 times and really start to have really big seasons.
Well, I mean, look at how the Heisman Trophy has changed in the last 15, 20 years. It used to be the running back award, then it was the quarterback award, and now look at who is there this year. It's split. I mean, you've got running backs and quarterbacks.
Two quarterbacks, a running back, and a receiver slash defensive back.
And you can make an argument that there's another running back or two that should have been in that Final Four. I mean, Scataboo from Arizona State's an absolute beast, and he said himself that he should be in New York. Let's get to the phone lines again. They're wide open for you. 334-321-1390. Ty the Tiger, what's up, my man? How are you?
What's up, guys? What's up? Yeah, I think, you know, we were wondering, you know, at LSU, it took a couple more years for the Saban, you know, kind of or error or whatever you call it to kind of fizzle out. You know, Les Miles rode that coattail for a little bit longer. But I'll be honest with you guys, it seems like DeBoer, I mean, he didn't even get a full year. I mean, you got they get bounced out of the playoffs. I mean, they're losing games to unranked opponents. I mean, you know, I just said it, you know, just talking to a bunch of Bama fans this weekend, and they were like, dang, is this how it feels? I'm like, yeah, welcome to the regular college football where, you know, every year is not a guarantee there, brother. I mean, but being honest with you guys, look, the real reason they got left out is because not because of who they beat and who they lost to. It was SMU's resume. I mean, and we say, oh, well, they didn't beat anybody. They still played a conference schedule that was set up by their own conference, not them by themselves. The conference people aligned these games, and they play the game. They went undefeated in conference play until the championship game. They played on the extra weekend that Alabama did not. And the two games they lost, they lost by a field goal to both ranked teams, one playoff team in Clemson and a BYU that was right on the snub of getting a Big 12 championship game, you know, appearance and maybe doing something as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's ask Georgia, who played Clemson, how about their non-conference schedule, and Georgia Tech. Let's ask Texas about playing Michigan first or second game of the year. I mean, come on, man. This non-conference stuff, I mean, just another crybaby. I don't even want to hear it anymore, man. I really don't. So
I agree. I agree. And I think something's going to have to change. And look, if there's a team that wants to go out and schedule more Mercers and Alabama States, then by all means, go for it and hurt your own fan base and lose money on that because fans aren't going to show up. They've proven that at this point. And look, I've said for years that one of those games should be waxed, and especially in the SEC, and pick up an extra conference game. Now, I think that's probably losing traction because of the Alabamas of the world who are upset because they can't win the ones that are in front of them. So why in the world would we want to add one more?
Well, again, the only argument that you have is the SEC, and it's just cannibalism of just knocking each other off. I mean, again,
right.
You know, Oregon is not an undefeated team in the SEC. Indiana's not in the playoffs if they play in the SEC. SMU, I get all that, but until we realign and get everything right, you know, I think you're going to have this. I think you're going to have this fourth to fifth team of the SEC, you know, moaning and complaining at the end to try to get into number 12 and 11. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to happen every year.
I think you're right.
And again, if you put Alabama on the field right now on a neutral field, which I know it's a home, you know, game, but I'm just saying, if you put Alabama on a neutral field against SMU, Arizona State, Boise State even, I know they got the bye, Clemson and Indiana. To me, they're a touchdown favorite and probably win the ball game. But you know, that's not how it works.
Well, they
we got to abide by the rules, guys.
You're right. I mean, they were a three and they were a three touchdown favorite against Oklahoma, and they lost.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, they were big time favorites against Vandy, Oklahoma, and they lost both of those. And what I'll say to you, and Ty, we appreciate the call, brother. Always great to hear from you. What I'll say to that, Christian, is what I've said for this entire time, is Saban has always cried about, it's the best teams, it's about the best teams, it's about the best teams. Well, guess what? The humans are the ones that decide who the, quote, best team is, right? That goes back to what I love, is the eye test. And don't get me wrong, I love the eye test. But if you're going to tell me that we shouldn't look at results, we should just look at who you scheduled and base it off of who we think would win on a neutral site and neutral field, then why play the games, right? Then why are we going to play? Because Bama's argument is, well, yeah, I mean, we lost to Oklahoma, but we also played LSU. We schedule tough teams. We're in the SEC. We deserve a little bit of grace. And you do, but the games have to matter. They have to matter. Talk to Ole Miss about losing to Kentucky, right? Talk to South Carolina about dropping ones they shouldn't drop. Win your games, and you don't have to worry about it. And I understand that two schedules are not created equal, one from the SEC and one from the ACC. They are not the same. But you still have to win your games. And here's what I'll say. I'm going to let you speak while I get to the phone lines, too. You play in the SEC. Your schedule is harder, but you make more money. You have better fans. You have better facilities.
Talent.
You have better talent. Yeah. You have better NIL. You have better everything than any other conference in the United States of America. Get over it.
And you know who said that? The head coach of the number one team in the country that used to play and used to coach, not used to play, but used to coach in the SEC with Dan Lanning when he was at the University of Georgia. We talked about it last week, the press conference that he had, saying that, yeah, there's a lot of different factors that you can play into just about everything, but if you win the games, it doesn't matter that the SEC runs things. It doesn't matter that ESPN has a contract with the SEC. That's the number one team in the country's head coach saying that about the conference, but ultimately leads it up to, if you just win the games that you have to play, nobody can leave you out.
If Alabama beats Oklahoma, would they have taken over SMU to make the college football playoff? Yes. If South Carolina, who are their three losses this year? Didn't they lose to Arkansas? Was that one of their losses?
Clemson?
South Carolina.
Oh. South Carolina lost to LSU because of the pick six that was called back.
Okay.
They lost to Alabama.
Yeah.
And then,
so, okay, beat one of those two teams. No, beat LSU. If South Carolina had beaten LSU way back when, they probably are knocking on the door, too, to make it to the college football playoff. And they have a chance to jump as well. That's what I'm saying. Win your games, and it doesn't matter. If you want the love of the SEC, you're going to get the hate of the SEC as well. Ed is back. He had another question about Brian Harsin that he wanted to ask. What's up, Ed?
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the second call.
Sure.
I forgot to ask you this. But with Brian Harsin, I wanted to ask you, I think Auburn's still paying him for another year, if not maybe two more years.
That's correct.
But does his contract say if he takes another head coaching position or any coaching position?
That's a good
because
question.
He's just going to be an offensive coordinator. Does Auburn still have to pay him?
My guess is going
to
be yes. I don't know that off the top of my head. Christian's going to look it up while we sit here. I don't know that off the top of my head, but my guess would be if he took another head coaching job, but just a coordinator, they probably still owe him his money.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I appreciate it, and I'll be listening.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it, Ed. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. Tell you what, while you look that up, let's take a break. We got another phone call. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one with all that here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. All right, wrapping up hour number one. I screwed up our system somehow. I don't know what I did, but I'll fix it. Our returns are messed up, so we'll get that fixed in just a second. But we got a few more minutes as we wrap up the first hour. Let's get to the phone lines again. They're lighting up like crazy. 334-321-1390. We got the Pitmaster joining us for a few minutes. What's up, my man? How are you?
How are you doing, Jacob?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I swung by and saw you a little bit earlier today, and man, that sandwich was good.
Outstanding. I'm glad you liked it. I'm just calling in to try to, you know, give a little bit of insight on this playoff thing. I can tell you this. If they could get Bama in, if it was an 18-team playoff, they would. But this is all about money, people. And these conference championships make a lot more money than people think they do. And if they'd have put Bama in over SMU this year, there would be no more reason to play the conference championship. And everybody and their brother would say, I'm done. I'm not doing it.
Yep.
So, yeah, we know everybody wants Bama in. I get it. If Saban was still the coach, they may still have been in. I don't know. But, you know, money talks and BS walks, as they say.
That's right. You 100% spot on, Pitmaster. Man, it's always good to hear from you, my friend. Take it easy out there on the wet roads, all right?
You do it too, buddy. Be good.
Appreciate it. That is the Pitmaster. You can visit him down at Byron's, good sponsor of ESPN and a lot of things that we do here at Auburn Network. I had a chip sandwich today. Mm. Oh, chip
it doesn't
sandwich,
get better.
Fried okra, chocolate chunk cookie. My goodness. Mm.
Doesn't get better than that.
It was fantastic. But he's right. I mean, he's absolutely right.
I think that in a weird way, the 11 seed in the playoff was the one thing that where money did not win because it had to cover what they had talked about throughout the remaining or throughout the entire course of the regular college football season to where, again, exactly what we've talked about, what Pitmaster was just talking about. If they would have taken Alabama over SMU, the committee in the playoff probably would have made more money. But it would have completely eliminated any reason for any conference championship because there would not have been a reason. It's something that we've talked about already to where in a couple of years, I fully foresee it being the third and fourth or even the fourth and fifth place team in the SEC trying to compete for a spot and win a, quote, SEC regular season championship because, say, Texas had two losses but was still playing in the conference championship. Georgia beats Texas. Rather than Texas having a secure spot in the playoff, they decide to play that other game, and they could possibly lose and be knocked out, rather than if they decided not to play it all in all, they would be solidified in the college football playoff. So there's so many weird things that play into it. But again, I think that's the one thing that money didn't necessarily control a decision. It was more so covering the committees, you know what, based off of what they've said in the regular season. Another really interesting thing that I was thinking about during the break. You mentioned that if Alabama would have beaten, say, Oklahoma as a 10-2 team that wasn't in the college football playoff.
I think that's all it took, especially at that point in the season.
I think it still would draw the discussion because then it would be it's still SMU or Alabama, but Alabama's 10-2, SMU is 11-2. They lost and played in a conference championship. Would you still take Alabama? Or would you then take Alabama or would you still take SMU? Because then it gets even more interesting about which one do you take? Do you take what we talked about with conference championships or do you take the team that you, quote, may think is better?
It would have made that decision a whole lot tougher. It would have made that decision a whole lot tougher on the committee. And I think they would have been more tempted to put Bama in because they had more of an argument, right? Yeah. They would have said 10-2 in the SEC. We respect that more than 11-2 or 11-1 rather. Even don't put the ACC championship game in it. 11-1 out of the ACC versus 10-2 in the SEC. They would have respected that more. They would have put Bama in.
100%. But it just goes back to if that were to be the case, which again, we're all still talking hypotheticals because it obviously did not happen, but it could very easily happen in the future to where if there's a situation like that, I think SMU could have had a much more legitimate conversation to say, we're not going to play in the conference championship game because we don't want to risk the loss and losing our spot in the playoff.
We could have seen it for the first time in the first year.
Yeah.
That would have been crazy.
Yeah, we talk about everything, everybody trying to learn from the first year and how this year was almost just a rough draft until everything happens and you kind of figure everything out. I guarantee when they were talking about making the 12-team playoff, that type of conversation was not talked about.
No, there's no way. There's no way that that group of people had those in-depth conversations. I refuse to believe it.
But they said, hey, I like their jerseys, and they make a lot of money.
Oh, wow. They look so nice. They look so fun. We really enjoy them. Let's put them in. That'll be fun.
Their mascot would win over the other team's mascot in a fight.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be cold in December? Oh, let's go to Columbus. Yes, let's do it. Oh, what a joke. All right, hour number one, it's in the books. We got a lot more coming up in hour number two. Want to talk a little basketball after a big weekend for Auburn and previewing what's coming up for the Tigers and more transfer portal conversations and a whole lot more. That's coming up in hour number two. Don't you dare turn that radio dial.
Is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. If you missed any of hour number one, you can catch it with the podcast version of the show. We take the audio, put it on our station website for you. So if you ever miss any segments or interviews, or you really just want to go back and listen to it, you're more than welcome to on our station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, Christian Griffin and I talked about the transfer portal a lot, talked about what Auburn could be going after and what they have already gone after. We'll talk more about that coming up in hour number two. Plus, we talked about the college football playoff. Had lots of great phone calls from you with great questions and a lot of fun in that first hour. And so be sure you go and check that out at ESPNAU.com. Here in hour number two, we're about to get to the phone lines, which are open at 334-321-1390. We're also asking you to send us names in the transfer portal that you want Auburn to go after. You can send us a text in the On the Line text box at 334-784-1067. And before we get to the phone lines, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day here on ESPN during On the Line, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. So we appreciate them sponsoring the second hour of my show from 3 to 4 o'clock each and every day here on ESPN. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. And Terry, you're first up to start hour number two. What's up, Terry?
Hey, Jacob. Hey, Christian. How y'all doing today?
Doing good, man. What's on your mind?
So Alabama didn't give the playoffs. Wah, wah, wah. Do y'all think the TV markets play a factor into this at all? Now, they're part of the Dallas, Texas TV market.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I hadn't thought about the Dallas part, but yeah, the TV market, aka ESPN, has everything to do with this. I saw something, Terry, that said ESPN's broadcast next Friday for Indiana Notre Dame. This may not be 100% accurate. I may be misquoting this, but I think it said this is the first time that a non-NBC television station will be broadcasting a game inside that stadium since the 90s.
Wow. I mean, wow, that is surprising.
Yeah, so there you go.
As far as the portal goes, I've been a proponent of Jalen Daniels, the quarterback out of Kansas.
Yeah, he's a good one.
He's a guy that I've liked all along, and he's a guy that I thought, but who is Ole Miss playing in their bowl game?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember. You got that pulled
up, Christian?
Ole
Miss is playing Duke because Malik Murphy, who is the Duke quarterback, just enter the portal and won't be playing.
That's where I was going with that. they're playing Duke, so the quarterback of Duke is once again transferring like Riley Leonard did last year.
Correct.
Yeah, so and he's got 2 years eligibility remaining, I think, then whereas Leonard had one, I think.
Hey, your guy Robbie Ashford's transferring again. Terry, did you see that?
No, we're transferring to this
time. We don't know where he's going. He's in the portal, though, again, leaving from South Carolina.
Or T.J. Finley.
He's transferred for his 17th time.
Is his eligibility up, T.J. Finley?
He's got one more somehow, and it's the T.J. Finley World Tour.
Wow, that's you talk about a guy that's the definition of look like Tarzan and play like Jane. I mean,
one way to put it.
He looks great in the uniform and warm ups and everything, but he just doesn't have it. He just doesn't.
Never has. Not in the college game.
Yeah, sorry to say, I'm not trying to knock the young man, but hey, he doesn't. He just doesn't.
Terry, I do have to, unfortunately, be the bearer of bad news. Now you're starting to hear so many people talk about they have come to a new agreement with their team to stay, and I do believe Jalen Daniels was the second quarterback to do that. He will be sticking with Kansas this year.
Oh, boy. Well, there's plenty of that now. Let's talk about the Stanford guy. I don't know much about the Stanford guy. Could y'all bring you a little bit up to date on that?
Yes, we can on the Stanford transfer quarterback.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So Ashton is his name. He is coming from Stanford. He's in the transfer portal. Auburn seems to be a heavy favorite to land him, and his stats are not going to blow you away. The turnovers are alarming, I would say, but it is a guy that has experience, and it's a guy that is a dual threat. His rushing stats are pretty legit, and Christian, I think you may have those pulled up, but his stats overall, again, are not going to blow you away, but it's a guy that brings years of eligibility, years of experience, and somebody that I think could at least compete in the quarterback room for Auburn.
And did it
pass this area? Because Stanford's a long way out in Palo Alto, California.
We'll say that again.
Does he have ties to this area?
He is from Buford, Georgia. So I did not go to high school with him, but I went to Buford as well. So I know a bunch of people there. So, yeah, he's from about two and a half hours from here.
Okay. Just curious because I fear that's a long way to go. I agree with you earlier, Jacob. I think he's more of a number two guy.
And I think that's kind of the expectation that he has. Again, it's somebody that has played legitimate D1 experience. And again, I mean, if you look at just the stats, they wouldn't necessarily blow you away. He did play under a very, very poor offensive line in Stanford as well. And then rushing yards, trying to pull up the 2024 log. He ran for almost 700 yards as well and threw for 1,700 as well. So he at least brings in that dual mobile quarterback factor to where, like Jacob was talking about in the beginning of the show, if you have him as that number two, it's not complete end of the world. You're having to completely change your offensive identity if you bring that backup in.
What about turnovers? You remarked Jacob turnovers. He was a turnover prone.
Yeah, he had quite a few, especially interceptions.
Yeah, he had 12 interceptions, but
we don't need that.
He had 3 against Clemson and 3 against San Jose State. And other than that, it was relatively clean. But regardless of how you look at it, turnovers are still turnovers.
So you're saying against Clemson and San Jose State, do this best Peyton Thorne invitation?
Correct.
Yeah. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. And so your news about Jalen Daniels is pretty significant for Auburn fans in terms of guys that they wanted to see in the portal at the quarterback spot.
Yeah, I believe that happened. It was either Saturday afternoon or Sunday, right before the portal opened. You're hearing more about it, the kids agree to a new deal, which is
they renegotiated their contract. Their contract.
Somebody who hasn't watched college football since 2010 and ask them, and then they'd roll over in their grave if they heard a saying like that.
But does that not go back to what we've talked about where, I mean, they are oh so close to just full-on contracts where you come out of high school, you 100%. Sign a two-year deal, and then if you want to re-sign or they don't want to re-sign you, instead of free agency, you just go into the portal. You just enter your name into the portal, into free agency, and then you can be picked up and paid an X amount of dollars for an X amount of years.
It will 100% happen. Otherwise, you will just see these great college coaches go to the NFL because they don't want to have to worry about any of that. They don't want to have to sit there at week eight and have to recruit half of your own team when you're sitting there at 5-3. They'd much rather just be able to coach. You're going to see guys coming out of high school with, hey, we'll give you, we will give you a 2-year contract with a 3rd-year opt-out decision where you can enter the transfer portal, but it'll make it to where you will be here for 2 years regardless, and there will not be any discussions of it otherwise, just so that way coaches can simply coach and do what they need to do rather than trying to recruit high school players, trying to recruit portal players, and trying to recruit the guys that you already recruited.
Back to the phone lines we go, 334-321-1390. And James, you're on the line.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Two things. One, the quarterback situation. You know, Hugh Freeze, he must have been absent today in school. They went over information retention because, you know, he's already experienced 2 years with Peyton Thorne. I'm not going to dog the guy, but we all know how it turned out. Why in the world would he want to get a kid like the kid from Stanford to come in and be a backup? What's that telling us about Walker White? What about quarterback development? You would think that Walker White, you know, would say, wait a minute, guys. I was the next best thing 2 years ago. What about me? I just don't understand it. You know, and Hugh needs to understand his tail's in a sling. If he don't do well this year, you know, it's his chances of remaining at Auburn are slim and none, and Slim's catching a bus heading out of town. You know, and that's the bottom line.
I think you make a lot of good points. Yeah.
Yeah, the second thing I was going to ask, what about the running back Hardy? Is that the guy from ULM?
It is, yeah. That's a guy who I think is he's a very highly touted option. Somebody that I know has received several offers from Power 4 programs in the last handful of days since he announced and then ultimately entered the portal yesterday. And somebody that I think Auburn is, I know they're going after, and somebody they're trying to get on campus and want to bring in just for depth, and honestly, somebody I think could compete.
Yes. Now, I wonder how that's going to affect Cobb and DeMarre Austin. You think they bring in somebody else that could get ample playing time to force one of them to choose to leave?
I would hope not, right? Because I just keep thinking DeMarre, this is his job, right? I mean, unless you just go get some world beater that is just the next Mark Ingram or something, like, I feel that it's still DeMarre Austin's job to lose. Jeremiah Cobb is an interesting one because, yes, he is a good running back, but he can still be used as a flex, right? You can use him in several offensive positions and use him catching balls out of the backfield. And so I think because of his unique spot, he is okay. And I've said this a lot in the past, and I'll say it again, and nothing about DeMarre in particular, but if Auburn goes and gets somebody at the running back spot and that scares off somebody, then you're probably better off without them anyway.
Exactly. I got you. Look, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate your time and enjoy the show.
Appreciate it, James. Thanks so much for calling in, 334-321-1390. Do you feel that way in terms of any position? I mean, if you get scared and threatened because your team went and got better at whatever position it is, and you're like, oh, well, to heck with these guys. How dare they recruit somebody to come and battle me and test me and compete with me in this room? I'm done. I'm leaving. All right. See ya.
You're starting to see it, too, with early signees, right? You're having a couple guys that are maybe scheduled to sign in the morning, and then all of a sudden there's some rumblings and grumblings going around about somebody else that team that you're supposedly committed to or going to flip to. They start talking about other names, and all of a sudden it's actually, I'm not going to sign today. I'm going to back out a little bit, and I'm going to wait to see where those guys go because I don't want to have necessarily that competition to have to compete with. And going to the Auburn running back room, there's always been two main guys, right, that get carries. Obviously, there's 1A, and then there's that B running back as well. I mean, even when it was Tank and Jarquez Hunter, when Jarquez Hunter was almost in the role that Damari Alston has been in, now you're almost taking that next step up to where Damari Alston is expected to be the guy. You're going to find that B running back or somebody that's able to split carries in the backfield, but by no means do I think another name should run Alston off.
Ahmad Hardy, who is the ULM running back that James was mentioning, it is confirmed from earlier today that he will be visiting Auburn sometime next week. I don't have a day on that yet, but he is scheduled to be on campus and visit Auburn for the running back spot.
I believe he goes to Ole Miss before, and then we'll head to Auburn after.
I also have big news that we'll talk about when we come back. Another guy that is going to be visiting Auburn very, very soon, as in a couple of days soon, this week. And it's at a very sexy position. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
This is Ian Fitzsimmons from ESPN Radio, and you're listening to On the Line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
We continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, talking transfer portal, talking really anything. We're going to get to basketball here in just a little bit, but exciting news for Auburn fans. We were talking the quarterback position, and we were talking about names that could possibly be coming to Auburn, and this guy is reportedly going to be taking a visit on Thursday. This is from Christian Clemente, good friend of ours at Auburn 247, Auburn Undercover. A transfer portal quarterback will be visiting Auburn on Thursday. Jackson Arnold, the Oklahoma transfer quarterback, former five-star, will be visiting Auburn out of the transfer portal on Thursday. Jackson Arnold, of course, is a guy that Auburn fans know. Auburn fans have seen play in terms of his time there at Oklahoma. He'll be here on Thursday after 2 years with Oklahoma. There were a lot of reports that he was going to be going to Mississippi State because of Jeff Lebby, but I guess Auburn is now in the mix for Jackson Arnold from Oklahoma. And as a true freshman, he completed 64% of his passes for 563 yards and 4 touchdowns with 3 interceptions, had over 100 rushing yards in that season. And then 2024, it was up and down for him. He dealt with injuries. There was inconsistencies. There were injuries around him and all of that. But he had a 63% completion percentage, had 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions, plus had 444 yards on the ground and 3 touchdowns. Your thoughts, Christian, on Jackson Arnold visiting Auburn from the transfer portal?
I think it's a name that you remember hearing a lot of in high school or when he was coming out of high school, and you didn't necessarily hear about as much his freshman year, and you honestly probably didn't hear too much about him this year. Obviously, it was highlighted a little bit in the beginning of the year when Oklahoma was joining the SEC, but as you mentioned, was dealing with a lot of injuries that kept him from playing a whole lot early in the season, kind of bounced around in the middle of the season. Kind of a name that if you didn't know too much about him, the record kind of follows him with Oklahoma, the fact that they were a middle of the pack at best SEC team. But then again, you see everything that he's able to do, and when he's healthy, is a very, very much a dual threat quarterback, good enough to run and carry the football a couple times. It's also nice to see Auburn putting together some complimentary visits with them as well. If Singleton, who's coming tomorrow, stays for Thursday and they're able to get in a room together and talk about everything just to figure out some of the pieces that could possibly coming in. Arnold, a big time name coming from Oklahoma.
Yeah, Arnold and Hawkins, Michael Hawkins Jr. were the ones who split time there at Oklahoma this year. Hawkins was the young buck, right? The freshman who got 77 pass attempts, 48 completions. But Jackson Arnold is somebody that I personally really, really like. I think when he's healthy, look at his numbers this year. He completed 63% of his passes for 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Like, That's what you want. Problem is, he got sacked 34 times. I mean, that's not winning numbers in terms of your offensive line. Your receivers were hurt. Your running backs were hurt. I mean, this was an Oklahoma team. What was the narrative all year long? They were hurt. They were banged up. This was a depleted Oklahoma team, yes, on both sides of the football. But Jackson Arnold is a good quarterback. And I think Oklahoma probably said, look, bro, we think Michael Hawkins is the answer. We recommend you go somewhere else. We like what you've done, but it's probably time to move on. And I don't blame him. And I think he is the guy. This is the first name. Well, let me take that back. We've heard of several names that I think Auburn would be okay with going to get as a starter. Caden Salter, I think, is a big one from Liberty. You've heard, I don't know, McNamara maybe from Iowa. That one doesn't get the motor running for me. This is maybe other than Salter. Is there one that I'm missing?
I mean, again, we've talked about John Mateer from Wazoo.
That's right. That's right. Mateer was the other one I was thinking of. Those two are the ones in particular I was mentioning. But this is the first real one that
the,
I'm...
The one that makes you go, oh.
Yes. And the fact that Auburn's bringing him on campus, the fact that Auburn now has a link to him and has some sort of an influence and will now have a chance to pitch something to him, that is what gets me kind of fired up. And that's what is attractive to me here is Auburn is bringing him in. And this is a guy that I could see starting for Auburn next year. I mean, I think he's that good. I think he brings that enough experience. He's not a four-year starter, but he is good enough as a starter. And you're right, I think the record follows him, but I think his numbers should follow him too.
Definitely, but just looking from a 200-foot view to where if all you see is this name, you remembered him from high school, and all of a sudden it was, well, what did he do at Oklahoma? Oh, well, they went 6-6, didn't really do much. I wanted to throw your name or throw a couple ideas at you or a couple names just to see your opinion. Malik Murphy obviously just entered. That was the kid from Texas, went to Duke. He is currently listed on 247 as the number one quarterback option in the portal. Connor Wegman is listed as the second. Either of those names do anything? And then another one that was talked about a little bit going into last year, but he ended up sticking at his school thinking he could win the starting job, ultimately didn't. Devin Brown at Ohio State. Either of those three names do anything for you more than Jackson Arnold?
I think the only one for now would be Connor Wegman, and I feel like that's just the name more than what we saw. You know, talking with my A&M buddies going into this season, right, everybody in July at SEC Media Days was concerned because Connor Wegman had injury problems. And they did their best, my friends at Texags, they did their best to convince everybody he doesn't have injury problems. He's only had this, this, and this. But yet here we are, and he had more injury problems this year. And so that is concerning. You've seen the ceiling of Connor Wegman is very, very high. I mean, this is a guy that can beat almost anybody in the country, but you've seen the floor, which is not all that great. I think the same thing in a similar fashion for Jackson Arnold. And as I pull up his game log right now, I mean, I'm looking to see if there's any bad games for Jackson Arnold. I just don't see one. There are games in there that are not going to be attractive to you. Missouri, no touchdowns, no interceptions. Alabama, 9-for-11, no touchdowns, no interceptions. How about LSU?
Ran for 131 in that game.
Correct. That's where I'm getting at. LSU, no touchdowns, no interceptions. That's three straight games where he did not throw a touchdown. But there was never a game where... Take that back. There was one game where he threw more interceptions than touchdowns, and that was against Tennessee.
I was going to say, that's the one game that you looked at because that was the one time that Oklahoma was early in the year. They were just starting to get banged up, but they were still relatively healthy. That was their one big spotlight game.
Yeah.
And I think that's the one where all of a sudden it was, ooh, okay, maybe this team is not quite ready. And if that's the case, that's probably the one time that you've seen this kid legitimately take the field in an Oklahoma Sooner jersey.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And so I think the upside is really big on Jackson Arnold. What were the other names that you mentioned?
Malik Murphy from Duke.
Yeah.
That was talked about again this past year. about him coming from Texas to Auburn, and then Devin Brown. I think that one's a little bit more far-fetched. It was talked about again a little bit last year as well when he decided to stick it out with Ohio State, but then Will Howard came in, and he was kind of thrown into a weird spot.
The Brown situation is weird to me because I thought he was going to have more of a chance to compete in that room because I don't know, man. I've never thought of Will Howard as just this groundbreaking, excellent quarterback. I said that when he went to Ohio State, that it was not a very attractive selection for me. And is anybody betting on Ohio State to win the national championship because of Will Howard? I'm not. Maybe other reasons. Maybe. I'm not because of Ryan Day. But Will Howard does not move the dial for me, which is why I thought it was crazy that Brown, Devin Brown, that is, who threw 19 total passes this year, didn't have more of a chance there in Columbus. And I'm surprised that, he stuck it out as a junior. As a junior, this guy has thrown, how many is that? This guy, let's do quick math. In 22, didn't throw a single pass, not one, didn't do a single thing. In his entire career, this man has thrown 47 passes in competitive football. That's risky to me.
Yeah.
That's very, very risky. Upside, sure. But my goodness, 47 pass attempts in his entire football career in college? I don't know about that one, Chief.
It's tough to go for. Looking at Malik Murphy's stats real fast, I know we're going to talk basketball when we come back. Almost 3,000 yards, 26 touchdowns to 12 interceptions.
That's a lot more attractive.
That is.
That's a lot more
borderline
doable to
sexy
me.
Right there.
Yeah, I would say so. Compared to somebody that's probably never thrown for more than 3 first downs. I don't know. I think I'd probably go with the proven commodity versus a massive, massive what if. All right, when we come back, we are talking basketball because Auburn is the number 2 ranked team in the country, and we need to talk about it. That's coming up next here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
All right, we got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I am Jacob Goins. And let's talk a little basketball, huh? Because Auburn, we got the number 2 team in the country. Still the number 2 team in the country. Even after taking their first loss of the year just under a week ago, last Wednesday night, when they went to Duke. But they bounced back really nicely, Christian, with a massive win. I should say dominating win. The win itself may not carry a whole lot of weight, but it was nice to see Auburn bounce back on Sunday morning, early Sunday afternoon, where they beat Richmond a lot to a little.
It felt like one of those 11 a.m. kickoffs inside Jordan-Hare where you're definitely the better team, but you're still a little bit worried going and leading up to kickoff because it's a morning game. You don't know how the team is going to respond after a loss. You feel like it gives the away team a little bit more of an advantage. And usually in a game like this for Auburn, they start off a little bit lazier. They settle a lot more at the three-point line. But Bruce had his guys ready. And I guess when you can quote-unquote settle for shooting at the three-point line and you go 13 of 30 in the game, I don't think you hate those chances because you got some guys that can just flat out go get buckets.
Yeah, and I look at that, the team stats for this game. I mean, Auburn puts up 98 points, yes. But is it crazy to say that this team is not at its best when they shoot it 30 times from downtown?
Very much so. And that's why I talked about, this team, but you feel like in the morning games like this, Auburn shoots 35, 43s in the past, and they win by 13 or 14 to where you win, but it's like, okay, you didn't really do much, didn't really impress. You still found a way, although you did, again, I think if you could shoot 20, 25 threes with this team, I think you'd be in a much better spot. That being said, if you're able to knock 13 of them down and still shoot 47% from the floor, I think you'll take it.
Yeah, especially with, Janai shooting 2 of those, Denver shooting 8 of those. That's not Todd Pettiford shot 8, but he made 4. So if there's one or two guys on this team that I want shooting the basketball almost anytime they're open, as of right now, it's Todd Pettiford and Miles Kelly.
Yeah.
It's those two guys where whether...
And Chad. I would throw Chad Baker in there too.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think that's fair. And I was going to say Chad Baker is a mix, I think, with Miles Kelly. It's very much catch and shoot, right? And if you're open, catch and shoot, take it and knock it down. Pettiford, most of the time, especially as the point guard, he's going to create that shot where he just somehow gets separation and you're like, oh no, oh yes, and he knocks it down. Chad Baker is kind of in between. He can make his own shot,
yes,
but he's also very good at slipping around a screen, off the ball, getting into the corner, and finding himself wide open and burying it.
And, I mean, again, in 19 minutes on Sunday, he put up 13, 6, and 5. This is we've talked about it, I think, off air, or we definitely talked about it off air. I think we've talked about it on air, too. This is the spark plug for this team. This is kind of the glue guy that keeps everybody together. You've talked about the energy level being raised when he is on the floor. Obviously, you didn't necessarily need it in a game like this over Richmond, but still, in 19 minutes to be that productive when you're on the floor, and when you talked about, or with Coach Pearl, he talked about Chad taking a minutes cut in this game, willingly giving minutes to Jakai Howard because he understands that this kid is good enough and you're going to have places where he needs to come out and produce and, you know, use his athleticism to come out and win you games. In 21 minutes with Jakai, had 13 points, 4 rebounds. And I think everybody, if you hadn't seen the highlight tapes already in high school, you realize that just about any time he jumps, he touches his head on the Raptors.
I mean, he is really, really athletic, and I'm glad to see him starting to get back into the fold a little bit. It's taken him a little bit when he obviously didn't play there for a little bit after the plane incident. But he is back, and a good game like this, because talk about an X factor. Talk about somebody that could just come alive late in SEC play in Nashville or even in the NCAA tournament, a spark plug off the bench, or if somebody gets in foul trouble. I mean, this could be your black
almost like
sheep,
like
if
an
you
X
will.
Factor.
Yeah, I mean, your guy that you just are like, wow, didn't know we needed him as much as we did, but I'm glad we had him tonight type of thing. You could hear Bruce Pearl saying that in a post-game presser, and it very well could be about Jakai Howard, and that could be months from now.
It almost feels, and this is nothing against KD at all, but that's the similar type of vibe that KD Johnson brought,
sure,
to where it was, this kid comes off the bench and could very easily win you a basketball game if needed. Granted, on the other hand, he could do the exact opposite for him. But that type of energy guy that comes in off the bench and doesn't necessarily put up 20 and 10 or 18 and 6 or whatever, but just 12 points off the bench, an energy guy that comes in, plays really good defense, and just uses his athleticism to go and win you a basketball game if needed.
He's got the ability to just take over. He has a solo run in there somewhere, right? And that's what Auburn has to have, and that's what any good team has to have, and they win 98-54. You look at the updated top 25, and I've looked at this several times since it's come out, and the fact that Auburn is still the second-ranked team in the country, I think, shows what their schedule has been so far and how much respect they have gained, even though they went on the road and lost to Duke. And I mean this with no disrespect, because they're one of the very few undefeated teams left in the top 25 of college basketball. This team, Florida, and Oklahoma are the only three undefeateds left in the top 25. Am I crazy in saying I'm not ready to give Tennessee the number one ranking yet? Am I crazy to say I just don't think they're the best team in the country? Are they good? Yeah, they're really good. That win against Louisville, it's all right. Louisville's getting better, I guess. Virginia, terrible. Baylor was a top 15 win. And Syracuse is okay. But they've manhandled those teams, so you've got to give them credit. I just don't know if I'm ready to say, hey, this is without a doubt the number one team in the land.
I think the net ranking goes into a lot of it as well. Tennessee's obviously one of the best defensive teams in the country. They have been for the past 10, 15 years, right? Even when Bruce Pearl was over there in Knoxville, they were still one of the best defensive teams in the country. I think, that, again, the net ranking plays a really big factor where you're looking at defensive efficiency and how there's so many other things that goes into that ranking where, in a weird way, even last week when Auburn was, I believe, second in the net rankings and everybody was wondering, how is that the case? When you look at it and, you know, Baylor beat a couple teams where you throw in the teams that you've beat and the teams that that team has beaten. I feel like that plays a big factor. So I think the net comes into play a little bit with Tennessee getting the top-ranked team or the top-ranked spot. Have you seen what the remainder – obviously, you see what the remainder of the Auburn schedule looks like, but the quad one and quad two games of all the SEC schedule, but specifically of Auburn's, have you seen it?
Like upcoming?
Yes.
No, but I can tell you that of the current top 25, Auburn, by the end of the season, the current top 25, by the end of the year, Auburn will have played half of them.
Auburn right now plays two quad four teams in Georgia State and Monmouth. They play one, two, three, four quad two games, those being number 35, Missouri, so right on the bubble.
Yep.
Number quad two, South Carolina, which is still not a bad team. Not as good as, I don't think, what last year's team was expected, but
no,
still,
not at all.
But still a very solid team. Number 44, Oklahoma.
So who is in the top 25 right now of the AP poll.
And then quad two, Arkansas.
Jeez.
Those are the only non-quad one games that Auburn has to play. They play 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 quad one games. And
from here on out.
From here on out.
How many have they played to this point?
Oh, gosh. I mean, it's been...
I mean, you're pushing double digits probably.
I was going to say, I mean, it's...
Well, Auburn's 8-1. I mean, out of the nine games, they've probably played...
Six or seven.
Six. Yeah. I mean, now, again, remind people... That changes, right? These quad things change throughout the year. But my point backs all that up. The current top 25, by the end of the year, Auburn, take Auburn out of it, so the other 24 teams, Auburn will have played 12 of those 24 teams.
Vermont is a quad two team. Houston, quad one. Kent State is a quad three. North Alabama, quad four. Iowa State, obviously, one. North Carolina's a one. Memphis is a one. Duke is a one. Richmond is a three, right on the cusp of a four. So you've played four or five already. Quad one game. So, I mean, just the remainder, I mean, of this schedule is just absolutely insane to think about. And it's not just Auburn. I mean, that's the entire SEC slate right now. There could legitimately be 12 or 13 teams that make the run in March. Not even as bubble teams or the play-in 12 seed teams. There could be 12 or 13 teams from the Southeastern Conference alone that make it to the March Madness tournament.
Has Arkansas, are we ready to consider them a disappointment yet? Have they underachieved at this point in the first 10 games or less of the Calipari era? And I don't know. I think it's, I don't know how to describe it. They have a big game coming up tonight.
I was going to say they play Michigan tonight.
They host Michigan. No, they don't. That's at
no,
Madison
they
get, Square
I was going to say, yeah.
Waters it down a little bit. Still a cool place to play. That's a Jimmy V Classic. Is that right?
It is, yeah. You get to go watch former Auburn Trey Donaldson,
who is
the starting
balling,
point guard,
balling
who is playing
out at Michigan, boy.
Did you see his sham god the other day?
Oh, it was so nasty. It was so. I mean,
I don't think I've ever seen a sham god running full speed either.
If you don't know what that is, go look it up. Look up Trey Donaldson, sham god. Yes, for all the people who are over.
You could
the
probably
age
just
of
30. Search his name though, and it would pull up. I mean, it is. It's almost a.
It's an
inside out crossover, but you only use one hand.
But it's also a hezzy at the same time. Like a, yeah, I mean, this poor kid that he dropped, I mean, that
had a
kid,
family.
He should have walked off the floor, taken his jersey off, hung it in the rafters, and never played basketball again. I mean, he got crossed over so hard, and I'm so happy for Trey Donaldson.
Yes, you have to
I'm
be.
So happy for him because we said he was going to be good wherever he went, and he is at a Michigan team now that is top 15 in the country. Their only loss was to Wake Forest, not a very good Wake Forest team either. And they have since rattled off two top 25 wins over Xavier and on the road at Wisconsin to open up Big Ten play. They've also beaten Iowa in Big Ten play, as Michigan. They've got Arkansas tonight in New York at Madison Square Garden. They then play Oklahoma coming up, what appears to be about a week or so from tomorrow. Then they've got two non-conference games, and they get back into Big Ten play. I mean, shout out to Trey Donaldson, who, in their first nine games this season, Trey Donaldson is averaging 29 minutes per game, 12 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds, and just 1 turnover, shooting 49% from the floor, 70% from the free throw line. How about this? 45% from downtown.
I mean, we saw it in flashes. We saw it, was it against Iowa in the first round of March Madness? Went 5 for 5 from the three-point line a couple of years ago.
He has
the ability to do everything correct on the floor. And I want to show one stat, or I want to ask you a question real fast to see if you're anywhere even close to it. Can you guess? I mean, there's been 141 games so far and played in SEC basketball throughout teams, you know, 1 through 16. They've played, Southeastern Conference has played a combined 141 games.
Okay.
What do you think the record is with these teams?
Holy smokes. Okay, give me a second to think. I'm looking straight up. I'm not cheating. 141 games out of 16 teams. I'm going to say each team is averaging less than 3 losses. So give me, we'll say, there's no undefeated teams in the SEC. Tennessee's the only one, right? Tennessee's the only undefeated team. So we'll say an average of 2 losses per team. That's 32. Give me 101 to 31.
Oklahoma's also undefeated.
Oh.
In the SEC.
Okay.
A very silent team.
Then I'll take 105, or we'll say 104 to whatever that comes out to be, 28. Is that right?
Yeah.
104 and 28.
The SEC as a conference so far through 141 games.
Oh, maybe my math is wrong. Hold on. My math is wrong. I misheard the number. 141 is the total?
Yes.
Give me...
If you said every team has, you know, two, three losses.
Yeah, let me do... I'll do 105 and 36. That math
okay.
is correct. 105 and 36 is 141, yeah.
SEC through 141 games is 123-18.
Oh, my gosh. Say that again?
123-18.
Oh, you're averaging two losses.
You're averaging averaging just around a loss a team.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, and think about the schedules the SEC has played. That's wild.
This is the best.
Wow.
I think this is the best conference in basketball this year. This is the best the SEC has ever been.
Golly.
I don't think that's even worth debating.
And again, I was talking about Arkansas, who I think has underperformed.
Who's 7-2.
Yeah. A 5-point loss to a top 10 Baylor team at the time and a loss to Illinois neutral site.
No. Florida's also undefeated. That's a silent team there as well.
I forget about Florida.
South Carolina is the only team. They sit at 6-3. They are the only team in the Southeastern Conference with 3 losses.
All right, my answer would have been swayed if I remember there were 3 undefeated teams. But I don't think I would have gone that high. Say it one more time. In 141 games.
123-18.
That's insane. And we're halfway through the month of December.
There's 16 teams with 18 combined losses.
How many losses did the SEC have by the... This is just a hypothetical. How many losses do they have by the time conference play starts? I mean, I don't know how many games they're going to play between now and then. I would say less than 30.
I was going to say 25, 26 at most.
And you're talking about, again, Tennessee plays Miami tonight. Arkansas plays Michigan tonight. Auburn plays Ohio State this weekend. I mean, just looking through the next week of games just around the SEC, A&M plays Purdue on Saturday, Auburn plays Ohio State, Florida plays Arizona State, Kentucky plays Louisville, Tennessee plays Illinois. I mean, Oklahoma plays Oklahoma State, Alabama plays Creighton. I mean, you're looking at big-time games this coming Saturday for the SEC, and yet we're saying that this conference can take a combined less than 12 losses in the next 3 weeks.
It's crazy to think. Who would have thought that... 5 years ago, if you threw Michigan and Arkansas on the floor together, that it would be a good game with Michigan favored by a 3-pointer.
Mm. I'm excited.
Or a Creighton team that's probably not favored against Alabama. Like, who would have thought a couple years ago that that's where the Southeastern Conference would be on the hardwood.
This conference, man, it's crazy. And it's exciting with a lot of games tonight and coming up this weekend as well. We got to take our final break. We'll come back, plug our high school broadcast that we have coming up tonight, and we'll wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line after this. All right, final segment here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I tried to mess with, just to give people insight on what happens in the radio biz, I tried to mess with our format a little bit. We got new liners. We have really, really cool Bruce Pearl liners for On the Line and The Drive, where Bruce Pearl talks about the shows, and I tried to put them in today, but I guess I did it incorrectly. So if I get fired, if I'm not here tomorrow, that's why, because Ben Taylor fired me. So we got a few more minutes before we get out of here, and you and I are both walking out of the studio and to the basketball floor, to the gym, to the hardwood. No, we are not working out. We're not playing. We're on the air. We're broadcasting games tonight. You've got Lee Scott. I've got Auburn High. Tell the folks what's going on your end.
Yeah, the first area game for Lee Scott Academy. It's a little bit of a weird one before Christmas break, before January, but Lee Scott taking on Beulah. Both of the teams playing really, really high-level basketball right now following that little tournament in Montgomery where both teams, the boys played well, the girls struggled a little bit, but really found themselves. And yeah, I think they're beginning to establish their identity. Some of the girls have really begun stepping up, taking bigger roles in that offense, and the defense of both of these teams is absolutely insane. I've talked about it with the boys to where they've yet to lose a track meet on the floor, that's quite literally how it is. This team does not want to run half-court sets if they don't have to. They want to get out in transition. There's been plenty of times to where they grab a defensive rebound or a turnover. Heck, even off of a made basket, they're grabbing it through the net, and the ball does not bounce until it's in the opposite paint for a gather dribble before laying it up and in. So Lee Scott taking on Beulah. JV boys, I believe tip off right at 4. Girls about 10 or 15 minutes after that, the girls varsity, and then the boys varsity will follow that about 10 or 15 minutes as the Lee Scott Warriors take on their first area game in their AHSAA basketball career. So should be a very, very exciting night. You can catch all of that on Tiger Country 104.5, tigercountry.net, the Radio Alabama app, or the Facebook or the YouTube live stream.
And then Auburn High basketball is in action tonight. They were on the road last night down at Carver. We were not able to make that trip, but we are back home tonight. The girls and the boys both got big wins. The boys were able to overcome their opening night loss against Carver, which was at home over at Auburn High Gymnasium. So they were able to get that one back. They win by 4. This time Auburn had the football players with them, so they had 4 extra guys on the team. So that helps in terms of depth. And then you gained a couple of big players too. And so both Tigers were winners last night on the road at Carver. They return home as the Indians of Lochapoca come to town inside of Auburn High School. Oh my goodness. See, I got so choked up talking Auburn High basketball, man. Just so glad to be back on the air.
You mentioned football and it just Speaking of what's going on with the Duck right now? I know that there's a lot of renovations going on right now as you drive past it. Do you know what's going on?
I have not been by there. I don't know.
Oh. All the trees behind the end zone are gone.
Oh, I have not heard. I'll put in a call. I'll see what I can do.
There you go.
Nobody tells me. I don't know.
Got to get on it.
That's right. Hey, Auburn High basketball. Again, we're on the air. Girls at 5:30, boys at 7 against Lochapoca. That's on the Auburn High Sports Network on 96.3 W. Lee and on the Radio Alabama app as well. That's going to do it for the Tuesday edition of On the Line. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4. We'll have Jordan Hill of Dogs 247 get some updates on Carson Beck and who's playing quarterback for the Georgia Bulldogs in the college football playoff, plus Double D, Daryl Dapperich tomorrow. That's right here, 2 to 4 on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. For Christian Griffin, I'm Jacob Goins. Listen to high school basketball tonight. Stay safe, stay dry. I'll talk to you later.